Would go ahead and take your Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15, and also Proverbs chapter 17. And Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, and then Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. I will read verse 13, and if we can read chapter 17 and verse 22 together. So Proverbs 15, 13, I will read that one, and Proverbs 17, 22, if we can read that together. Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 17. And if we can, let's go ahead and stand as we read the word of God this evening. Proverbs 15, 13 and Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Chapter 17 and verse 22. Ready? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today, and Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity where we can come and with the freedom that we have to come and worship together. We can hear the word of God together. We can fellowship together with other people of like faith, and we thank you for that. And I just pray that you'd fill us with your power as we hear the word of God. Please open up our hearts and be with the preacher as he brings the message to us tonight, the special speaker. I just pray that you'd help him, fill him with your power as he brings the message to us tonight. But the most important thing is for us to hear the word of God. So please flow through the preacher and flow through us to our hearts where we can hear and our faith can be increased, because there is people outside these walls that need and want the gospel. So we thank you for that. But we do pray that you bless the next hour. We'll give you honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, what an opportunity it is to be back here with God's people, with you guys. Boy, I see the Sunday night crowd is growing. Can I tell you this? That is not happening everywhere. we're at a desperate time here in America. Amen. But thank God there's churches like this still hold down the fort. I believe the Bible calls us the remnant. The people that won't change, won't back down. Can I tell you this? There's some people not too far away from here that have lost everything. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you. If you turned on the news, boy, they have literally nothing. My heart hurts for them. The reason why is this. They have nothing, even nothing spiritually. They're looking at everything. They don't have a church family. They don't have that love. They don't have that joy. By the way, God's in this, because when I was driving down here, I had many different messages and stuff that God was preparing my heart for. And then I settled on this particular passage. When we first started, Pastor prayed, and when Pastor prayed, he said, Lord God, will you touch our hearts? Then the first song was sung. It says, standing on the promises of God. Well, oftentimes we open the Bible, and when we open the Bible, boy, we want to claim these things, but oftentimes we don't live them. Boy, we sing standing on the promises of God until something bad happens, or so until something happens that we don't like. Then all of a sudden we try to take over, and I'll explain that here in a little bit. And then all of a sudden we come to the first hymn that, or the second hymn, then it says, turn your heart unto Jesus. And then the special, to top it off, says, near thy heart to God. Can I tell you this? I believe if you haven't guessed, if the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to you already, we're going to be speaking on the heart. Can I tell you this? The heart is a very important tool. Without the heart, good luck with your body. Without the heart, there's no blood that will flow. There's no oxygen that will be introduced to the tissues. You basically, without the heart, without being politically incorrect, well, we might as well say it, you'll be dead. You'll be dead. You'll be dead. Doorbell dead, as they would say. There would be no hope for you. There would definitely be a red line. Before we begin tonight, yes, I have met somebody that I'm very excited about. It's amazing when you spray somebody with mace and get it all in their eyes. How they can't really see, and then they say yes to anything. But yes, I have the opportunity in 2 weeks to get married. Definitely please pray. There's still a ton of stuff to do. But like I told her, I want to make sure everything gets done, but I also want to make sure that all my ministry duties and stuff get done too. Why? Because that's a calling of God. Just like she's a calling of God, a special calling, hey, man, of God. I was like, but, you know, definitely pray that we do everything in decency and in order, the way that the Bible talks about. Not only that, but it's amazing. I just came back from Brother Chitty's in April. Brother Chitty is a dear, dear friend. You guys will definitely, absolutely be blessed. Pastor did hit it, and he did say it right. I believe they said 60 to 70% of the people on the Navajo Indian Reservation still, to this day, don't have either running water or electricity. Then God's been pretty good to us, huh? Can I tell you this? It is absolutely beautiful out there in some areas. You also will be out there with Brother Chitty's, and you realize, whew, what a interesting ordeal they got when they signed that treaty. I can only imagine their faces when they walk to that desert land and they're like, this is what they gave us? Can I tell you this? Brother Chitty is doing a work out there. He has the largest Indian work that I or some other people have tried to investigate, have found in history. But I can tell you this, it was done with hard work from churches like you guys and other people. I can't tell you everything. You just have to go there to experience it. There, when we talk about a spiritual warfare, there is literally a spiritual warfare going on there. The people, when they arrived at church, Brother Chitty, right before I went there, or when I was there, I was literally on the platform, he's like, hey, I want to ask for forgiveness now, because right when you go to preach, there, he's like, there's going to be half of the church going to walk in. They're going to walk in late, and they're going to walk in on purpose late. And I was like, brother, I did brush my teeth and stuff, you know, before. He was like, trust me, they're just going to do this. He's like, here's why. He said they're so indoctrinated with Mother Earth spiritual stuff. He said they will all, literally during church time, they'll all be around the block, and they'll be going around and around and around and around in a circle, because they believe that evil spirits could be among them. So they go around and around to confuse the evil spirits. And right when they think the evil spirits are confused, then they drive into the church and quickly run in. He was like, good luck preaching tonight. I was like, thanks, brother. Can I tell you this? The devil's alive. He's still working. He's still up to no good. And if we don't watch it, even when it comes to the area of the heart, he's going to deceive us. It's very easy for us to hear something, 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 and then eventually believe it's the truth. It worked for Adolf Hitler. That was the main thing he did. In fact, the saying goes, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people will eventually believe it's the truth. That's why they give us evolution. That's why they bombard us. Now it went from millions of years. Now it's to billions of years. And I even heard trillions of years ago. I was like, make up your mind, people. I was like, it's either one or the other. But then I put it all into a spiritual thing. I was like, without God, that's how long it would take. I was like, but with God, boom, he said it. There it was. I was like, I think I'll take our religion over their religion any day. By the way, that's what it is. You have to believe that in order for it to be true. Just like you have to want a merry heart. The world searches for a merry heart and comes up short with happiness for a season. When they do drugs, they do it for a season. Recently, I had an opportunity to go to a church in Virginia. One of the saddest things that I saw, we were outside of the church. We were standing there preparing the church for Sunday. It was Saturday. And a young man, you could tell he was athletic. He had an athletic build to him, but he was totally out of his mind. He was going back and forth, and he was stumbling, and he was doing everything. He was on meth or something like that. He was talking to himself. He was doing everything. Eventually, he'd be laying down in the grass, and you see him like picking stuff and doing all this stuff. Totally broke my heart. Why? Because he's searching for happiness. He's searching for something so he can get rid of everything that he has in life. And that's the best that he's come up with, to put him in a state like that. But thank the Lord, that we have a church and a God that loves us. Amen. That tells us that there is hope in this crazy world. You know, there is that thing that the Bible says, that the blessed hope, the hope that passes all understanding. That's what God has given us. The Bible says, and by the way, your missionary, South Dakota, I saw him last week. We were in a conference there for 2 weeks. I told you God is in it. Look at all the coincidences and everything. Pastor mentions, you know, going out to Brother Chitty. He also mentions, you know, the missionary. I was like, man, let me write this down. This is absolutely amazing. He was there at the conference. And if you want to hear or see more pictures with about some of the things that you could possibly see when you're out there with Brother Chitty, let me know. There's Shiprock. There's the world's most expensive picture ever taken, $6.2 million was taken out there on the reservation. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go there. I don't, but a Chitty, you get into this like 2.5 hours away. It's actually a cave system. It is absolutely breathtaking. I have some unedited pictures because I promised myself I won't edit any of my stuff until I finish all my other projects. Needless to say, that was April. I still haven't edited, but I can guarantee you it is jaw-dropping how beautiful it is. For the next few minutes, without any more sidetracks from me, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." You want to know why people in this world turn to alcoholism? You want to know why they turn to drugs? You want to know why they have justified CBD, not in the good term, let's just be very honest, the weed, the pot, all these different things, because they're trying to search for this, but their heart is broken. They're trying to figure out a way to cope, but we have that way. By the way, shame on us if we just keep it to ourselves. That's why the Bible doesn't recommend, the Bible commands us to go out. Amen. Let me ask you this, when's the last time you told somebody about the blessed hope that we have? Remember, it's not a recommendation, it's a commandment. You have people in your family that won't talk to me, but they will talk to you. They never come across pastor's path, but they come across your path. You have something that they don't know about, but if they did know about and they actually understand it and would actually listen to you, you give them peace that passes all understanding. They won't need the peace of the pipe when they get the peace of Jesus and the love of Jesus. Can I tell you this? If I was to start off with the introduction, I would say sometimes the pursuit of happiness is the very thing that prevents true happiness that occurs. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know our Declaration of Independence and everything. It's amazing how it is set up. It says, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why? Because you never just get true happiness and just keep true happiness. But the Bible tells us here that we can have a merry heart that maketh a cheerful countenance. You know what they say? It starts on the inside, and eventually it will make its way to the outside. That's why sometimes we worry when we don't see people singing hymns. You say, why? Because it starts on the inside. And it makes its way to the outside. That's why we tell our kids, you better be careful what you listen to. Why? Because it starts on the inside and it makes its way outside. I don't know if you don't know, but this world and the music and the philosophy that it has, oh, parents, can I tell you this? There is so much out there, whether it's on video games or whether it's you know, in cars where parents aren't at, that can destroy our kids and cause us, even when we're trying to allow them to have a merry heart, they can still sit there and be cold or dry as rotten bones. What does the Bible say there? The Bible's saying they'd be good for nothing. You be in church, but you're really not there for church. We've all been there. Well, I'm here because I have to be here. Instead of, Lord God, while I'm here, will you speak to me? Because my heart's a little heavy. Why? Because I've been out in the world. Boy, I've been out in that place where sin runneth to and fro, where the devil, boy, is trying to attack me, is trying to do everything. Lord God, I need you this. But here, the Bible tells us that a merry heart does good like a medicine. Now, don't shoot me here, but Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, if this is true, we know it is in the Bible, then why do we take so much medicine? Oh, I know we have people in the medical field here. Please do not shoot me. Do not throw a understand this. Boy, a merry heart will keep us from bitterness. It'll keep us from a broken heart. It'll keep us from the point where we don't need some of the medicine that we need. Bitterness turns to high blood pressure, which could also affect the vessels in our body, which eventually could even cause heart failure. It's to the point now where even the medical field, they will look and they will address, how are you doing? Well, your doctor's not trying to play psychiatrist here. They're trying to figure out your heart. What's going on? Do you have a problem? Or you have a problem? All right. We have a psychiatrist or somebody for you to talk to. Why? Because you got to get that under control. Because if you don't get that under control, you never get your blood pressure under control. And eventually, everything will eventually stop. And we call that death. Can I tell you this? Does God want the average Christian to have a broken heart? No, that's not the way that God designs us. Now, sometimes we have things that, boy, God sees fit that we have it. By the way, we can look at it the way that the world will look at it, and we can say, why did God give me this? Or we can look at this and say, God trusts me enough to have this. Why does God allow people to go through some things and other people not to go through things? Maybe it's because God allows you to go through that so people can see even through that, you still can trust God. You still can serve God. You can still have that countenance that passes all understanding. Amen. Oftentimes, people in the world will see us going through a rough time, and they watch us just to see how we react. Amen. He says he's a Christian, but now that everything, now the sea is starting to rock to and fro, and things are starting to get crazy, now let's see how much of a true Christian he really is. Now let's see if he still smiles. Now let's see if you ask him and you say, hey, how are you doing, brother? Just my normal, fantastic self. Boy, does he absolutely say that? What does he do? By the way, sometimes you just have to make it till you make it. You have to keep going. Now, what I mean by that is you have to keep the train on the track. Choo-choo, choo-choo. We all been there. What is it, Thomas the Train or whatever the guy is? We're going back to the fundamentals, people. We're fundamental Baptists. You know, that's what it takes. But can I tell you this? All Christians should have joy in their heart. Amen. When you have joy in your heart, even when you bury someone that's passed, you can still smile. Why? Because of that blessed hope. The world, the reason why the world can't smile, the reason why the world, boy, I went to a funeral. Boy, when I was at this funeral, it was of a relative. It was my aunt that was there, and she had passed away because of cancer, and her sister was on the other side of the family. Boy, she came down the aisle, and she began to rock her sister that was in the casket, her sister's body, whatever, screaming and wailing and stuff. You're like, why in the world would anybody do that? Because she doesn't have the blessed hope. She think that's it. We try to tell her, and she wants to rely on her religion that's not like our religion. Therefore, she doesn't have the blessed truth. And we find her literally to the point where she's miserable. But how in the world could somebody, yes, we're hurting, and yes, our heart is broken, because that fellowship is now broken. But we can still smile. Why? Because we're standing on the promises. God said this, not goodbye. So I'm trusting him. God's saying that I'll be able to see you later, so I'm trusting Him. God said that He's prepared a place for me, so I'm trusting Him. Boy, there's a better way, but we simply have to stand on the promises. We choose to walk in the Spirit, and that gives us joy. Happiness, however, is a choice. Just as we choose to take medicine to make us better, we can have a merry heart. Boy, when we look at this, if it was in order, dramatic order, I would say number one, I would say an outside stimulus does not bring a merry heart. Simply as this. I believe here we know it as well as any place. We love to laugh. Whether it's at your expense or whether it's at the person of someone else's expense, whether we're telling dad jokes, or whatever it is, we love to laugh. Whether it's we're up here or we're doing skits and it's Christmas time or it's youth rally time or whatever it is, boy, we love it. But can I tell you this? It only lasts for a short period of time. Boy, we're here, we're laughing. It's a natural thing to laugh. There's nothing wrong with laughter, but it only lasts for a very short period of time. Remember what I said? Boy, what's on the inside eventually comes out. Everybody wants to laugh these days, but most people do not want to be serious, so they seek to make their heart merry or laugh. Much of the laughter is manifested as a result of vile and vaguer things. The reason why sometimes you go to youth rally and boy, you perform skits and the skit is absolutely hilarious, but you have a group of teenagers that are not laughing because their heart has been affected by what they put in it. That's not funny to me. Why? Because I look at this person who uses Vogue. By the way, if we wouldn't buy it and support it, the world wouldn't do it. The average Christian, we're a Christian here, but when we get at home and we're turning on the TV, how many curse words do we have to hear before we're like, oh man, this is actually getting pretty bad? Where it should be, whoa, turn it off. Well, it's just a little, no, turn it off. Why? Because it's affecting my heart. Eventually, it's going to get to the point where it comes out. I don't know about you, but when I slam my hand on a hammer, I don't want to have to wonder what is going to come out when I'm in the midst of other people. I want it to be, boom, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah, woo, God is good. I want them to think that I'm Pentecostal with, boom, woo, good night, woo. Why? Because what's on the inside comes out. But like I said, thank God for laughter. Amen. Thank God that He's given us that ability. Can you imagine going through life? Somebody does something, you're like, that's peculiar. And you're getting to walk off, but thank the Lord, we can be like, because they say, if you fall, your true friend will laugh at you. Then help you up. But a stranger will be like, oh, you okay? But a true friend is like, ha ha! You okay? Seriously. Like, you okay? Man, you should have saw your face. Dude, awesome. By the way, I sent that to all of our friends. It's going to be the best thing ever. You're definitely going to see that at the Christmas party. Yes! But this outside stimulus is not going to bring us a merry heart. How many times do we go to YouTube? Do we go to all these different things? Boy, trying. By the way, you know, I do that. I like a laugh. I do that. But can I tell you this? It's not going to last. It's not going to solve our problem. Boy, we say we're standing on the promises. But can I tell you this? Half of us don't search for them. When's the last time you did a Bible study on what God has said? That never leave thee, nor forsake thee. By the way, we shouldn't just study it when we are desperate and we're hurting. We should study it so when that time does come, we already have the scripture to lean upon. Some of us You already have a problem in a certain area, but you're too lazy to find out what the Bible says about that problem in that certain area. Or you don't want the Bible to tell you. Some of you, the reason why you won't go see pastor, because you already know what he's going to say. Why not? I'm not going to go see Miss Rock, because when I go see Miss Rock, she's going to say, and the Bible says, what goes in comes out. Sometimes what goes in will go in, will go in, will go in. But that one day, when we need it, thank the Lord, it can come out to help us in that time where we need it. Thank God that He gives us this opportunity to have a merry heart. Number two, it says a merry heart is a decision, not a choice. And I tell you this, medicine does not magically appear in our bodies to heal us or to give us strength. We choose to take the medicine, which is true of a merry heart. We choose to have a merry heart. You know, if you want to be a grump, if you want to be Scrooge, if you want to be that person, you can be that person all day. How are you doing? Or you can be that person, I'm doing good. I know you're going through a rough time, I am. Will you pray for me? I'm just keep on marching on. Even though it's through tears, I can still lean on those blessed promises and I can still keep going. I can just smile through the tears. Choot, choot. Still going. Still smiling. Even though my heart is wounded. Why? Because I put something in. And now it's time for me to take that and put it on the fire. And use that as energy to burn, to keep me on track. Can I tell you this? A merry heart is the decision. A merry heart comes when we decide to be pleasant to others. You know that word pleasant means please? There's nothing like somebody saying please. Even when you don't want to say yes, they're like, will you please do this? You're like, okay. Why not? Boy, at college we used to have this. We used to have this thing called a grievance committee. Boy, some people used to go there and they used to go there and be like, man, I'm going to tell you what I think. They're like, we don't care if it's right or wrong. Those demerits aren't coming off. Why? Because of attitude. But they went there and they're like, man, I'm so sorry. Please help me. Sometimes they would be wrong. But they would find grace and mercy upon the attitude that was this way, upon the heart. They can only see what we show. So therefore, we show a hard heart, they're going to be hard. It's a natural thing. If I was to come up to some of you and be like, how are you? You'd be like, who are you? Talk to me like that. It's a natural thing. We are whoever's in front of us. We're like, hey, how's it going? You're like, hey, how are you? But we're like, how are you? We're like, how are you? You want to do it? I can do it back better. Why? Merry heart. Can I tell you this? When we are pleasant to others, it gives us a merry heart. That's what the world will say. Well, God will say, if we are pleasant to others and we're looking for others, we can give them a merry heart that will last for eternity. I wonder how many grandmas, even in this area, are praying that this storm actually soften their kid's heart to where they will find a church that will love them the way that they love them. There's a church like this. You say, Brother Jackson, we go to doors, we go to doors, we go to doors, we go to doors, we go to doors. I understand it's work. Well, let me ask you this. Was it worth it when someone found you? You'd be like, yeah, it was worth it. When someone found your family, you're like, yeah. You like some of the kids, you're like, I don't even understand. Can I tell you this? Is it worth it that you're growing up in a Christian home? You don't have to worry about some of the things that some people have to do. Can I tell you this? Our Christian kids think, oh, I can go to public school and handle it. No, you can't. Those of us who've been to public school, we try to keep you guys from public school. That's the reason why you guys have a Christian school. You have different things. Why? Because it will chew you up and spit you out. And you will not come out the same. Even though you do have it, why? It affects your heart. What you're being told by your teacher, the evolution philosophy, the fossil. I mean, my soul, the world can't even tell us the difference between a hen and a rooster. That's like science. Follow the science. These are the same people. Follow the science, and they can't tell us the difference between the two. I believe I should get off that point because... A merry heart comes when we choose to be delightful. Why? We have to work at it. Thank you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Please. Honey, do I have to sleep on the couch again? See, I'm already starting to practice. Hey, the couch is real small. Trying to work at these things. A merry heart comes when we decide to be agreeable, not with each other, but with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how's my relationship with others? He'll let us know if there's a problem there. You know as well as I do, even with the world, this works. You ever been walking down the hallway and you make eye contact with somebody and immediately they look the other direction? Why? Because something's not right. You're like, oh, Brother Hager. Oh, hey, Brother Hager, how are you? He's like, I'm okay. How are you? I'm fine. I'm okay. Why won't you look me eye to eye? What is wrong? Oftentimes we even go to them and be like, hey, I want to make sure that everything's okay. Did I do something or say something that I shouldn't have? Like, well, I'm not going to do that. A great person that was in a meeting, name was Dr. Jack Howes. One of his assistants told us this. Their brother Howes was being attacked by somebody in the church. He was being attacked by somebody in the church, and he's like, they were all talking about it before Brother Howes walked in. Like, man, we're going to do this and do this and do this. And Brother Howes walked in. When he walked in to the meeting, start the meeting, they said, the first thing that was on the agenda, hey, Brother Howes, we need to talk about this. He's like, no. I'm going to handle it. It's all right. I'll take care of it. What's the next thing? And they're like, okay, we hear what you're saying. Is how can we help you, you know, take care of this? Is there anything that we need to prepare ourselves for? He said, no, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to go to them and make sure that everything's fine between me and them. And then we're going to move on. He's like, Brother Howes, you don't need to apologize. You don't need to apologize at all. We all know what happened. We all know that they're filthy and they're dirty. And boy, they don't deserve this. He said, hey, I don't want anything to be between them and their preacher. Amen. He said, so if I have to take the hit and be the bad guy, I'll be the bad guy. That way, the next time they need their preacher, he's available in their eyes. But we're like, I'm not going to do that. That's God. If they don't like me, they don't like my Lord. Burn in hell. I mean, that's like the way we act sometimes, is it not? Instead of going to them and be like, hey, is something I did? No. Oftentimes with the college, we had a rule. If somebody was acting out or acting different, pull them aside. Hey, I see that your countenance has changed. Is everything okay? Oftentimes, I can't tell you how many times in my office, students would just break down. Boy, they would just be crying and sobbing. Why? Something back home had happened. One young lady in particular, she said, my grandmother just died. I don't have a mom. She was my mom. And boy, she was just crying and crying. And I'm one of those people, whatever I see, boy, I do. And I begin to cry and I begin to do stuff. Boy, when she walked out of that meeting, her countenance were different. Why? She got that load off. Boy, we were able to tell the right people so she can get help. The college flew her home on their dime, flew her back. Without it, she didn't have a way. What? But what did we have to do? We had to offer ourselves. We had to offer our heart, open our heart up. Oftentimes, the reason why we stay cold is because we don't want our heart to be broken. We don't want somebody to tell us something that we don't want to hear. But can I tell you this? I imagine Jesus, when he knew that he had to pay the price, he didn't want to have to pay the price. But he did it anyways. Because he knew one day there would be millions upon millions upon billions of hearts that would be broken. Because they don't want to ever go to that place called hell. And someone has to pay the price. And he was willing to do that. Can I tell you this? Point number three, it says, a merry heart doeth good. Do not miss this. When we decide to have a merry heart, it comes, it causes us to do good, which is like medicine to us and others. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Can I tell you this? This means a totally different thing. But I have two stories to tell you. One or two more examples, and then we're done. So those of you who are looking at your clock, we're almost there. Well, we talked about Brother Chitty. Or Brother Chitty, we get an opportunity to sit, and boy, he tells stories. Some of them are military stories, which, by the way, if you get an opportunity to go out there, this man has like 12, 14 Purple Hearts, supposed to have like five more that will be given to him, probably won't be given to him until after death. He said that's just the way the military works. All right, everybody, so if you get an opportunity to be around somebody and to hear some extraordinary stories, this is your opportunity to do it. Boy, Brother Chitty was there. He's a Marine. Recon. Man's man. Ooh, I mean, that's who he is. Boy, he said he's preaching. And while he was preaching, he said someone stood up. Boy, and they stood up and they told him what they thought about his preaching while he was preaching. Well, you can only imagine how that went over. He said, excuse me? He said, you want to take this outside? The guy said, yes. He said, before he knew, boy, he threw his jacket off and he was going out the door. He said his wife, boy, she threw off her shoes. And boy, she ran and she was like, remember, you're the pastor. Remember, you're the pastor. Remember, you're the pastor. Honey, remember, you're the pastor. He said when he got out there, the only thing he could think of is, remember, you're the pastor. Remember, you're the pastor. He's like, I wanted to show him I'm a soldier. He's like, but I'm also the pastor, apparently. So he said, they agreed. This is not the right place for you. So he said, this guy left. And he left, and bitterness set in. And he found himself at a place that he never thought that he would be, in front of a witch doctor. That's very bad. Kids, I don't need to go into details, but that's dealing with powers and stuff that are the opposite of God. Yeah. Finds himself there. He said, I want you to cast a spell. I'm not saying that you're a witch doctor, but he said, I want you to cast a spell. And he said, I want it to be the worst spell ever. He's like, I want you to cast a spell, and I want it to hurt. He's like, I want him to feel the same pain that I felt, if not even worse. Witch doctor said, okay. He paid the witch doctor, and the witch doctor said, okay, who are we talking about? He said, Don Chitty. He said, hold on. Don Chitty? That's on the outskirts of the Indian reservation? He said, that's it. That's it. I want him to suffer. I want him to feel pain. I want him to hurt. He said, I can't do it. He said, what do you mean? I just paid you. I just gave you all this money. Whatever. You said that you could do it. He said, let me stop you. He said, there is a light within him that protects him. He said, when he heard that, this guy heard this immediately. He went back to the stories that he used to sing when he was the junior church worker. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. He said, all of a sudden, boy, he found himself, boy, having to make a decision. Do he keep walking this crazy way or do he set that light on fire again and let that light glow? He said, immediately he tore off through the church parking lot. Woo! Boy, he realized that it was Wednesday. He pulled in a church parking lot, locked up the brakes. Doors open. He comes sitting in the back. Imagine what's going through Brother Chitty's mind. Oh, great. Here we go. Brother Chitty said, I've had it. He said he was almost to the point of invitation. He gives the invitation. This guy comes walking very fast. Brother Chitty, one person like, what were you going to do? He's like, this is exactly what I was going to do. He's like, he was coming down and I had already taken one step. He's like, this is what I was going to do. He's like, Lord, please help me because right now I'm about to pray with him. It was about to be twinkle, twinkle, little star going on there. He said, right when he went back, he all of a sudden started seeing, boy, the big tears rolling down this person's face. And he was like, whoa. Well, you can tell what? His heart was broken. Boy, he came there and then he told Brother Chitty this story. And he said, literally in front of everybody, boy, they're rejoicing and thanking God. Why? Brother Chitty said he always knew that he had a light within him. Because why? He stood on the promises. But God just gave him a little glimpse. That there is a light. By the way, there's a light in you too. There's a light in you too. I know oftentimes we have to trust in my faith, but isn't that a cool story that we really do have a light? I mean, we sing this little light of mine. You know, sometimes you wonder where that light comes from, but that actually is a light that is within us that protects us. Can I tell you this? In college, there was a point in time where I didn't have a car. So boy, I used to go to place to place to place to place to place to place on other people's hearts. Like, please, brother got to eat, you know. I really do like eating. So boy, we'd go to place, do whatever. I remember I was on a train going from Jacksonville to Charleston. Got on the plane, got everything situated, went to go find my seat. I look, and there's a lady, and she's like, not sitting there. Boom, set myself down, sit down, planes, train starting to go. She gets up, two or three seats, and she sits down, and she's like, and I'm like, oh, awkward. We go to a stop. Then all of a sudden we go to another stop and she sits like right behind me. And when she sits like right behind me, she's like looking at me. You know, we all know when you can feel somebody looking at you because it feels like they're like licking. She's like right there. And I'm like, how can I get up without making it even more awkward? So I'm like, ooh, everybody has to use the restroom. I'll just go and use the restroom. Went and go use the restroom. And then I went to go sit down again in the opposite seat. And she's like, hold on. I was like, yes, ma'am. She's like, are you a preacher? I was like, yes, ma'am, I'm going to college. The B one. She's like, I knew it. She's like, the spirit is just all over you. I was like, really? She's like, oh, yeah, you got a glow about you, young man. Ooh, the Lord is just all over you. I was like, well, thank you. Merry heart, countenance. My pastor can tell you, somebody, you'll be in a store, you'll be somewhere, somebody will be like, hey, are you like a pastor? No, I mean, the worst case scenario, you'll be walking through Walmart and you have a blue shirt on, somebody will be like, do you work here? Are you like manager or something? Oftentimes I'll be like, yes. How can we help you? All right, toilet paper. Oh, nine. There you go. Need anything else? Let me know. What? Joyful countenance. Can I tell you this? This world is asking for somebody to be real. They're literally like, hey, are you a Christian? Like, a real Christian. I mean, you don't say that you're a Christian, then I see you at the bar with me, drinking and doing the same stuff. Are you a Christian? Because the stuff that you put into you is the same stuff that I put, and there ain't no difference. Amen. We all think, oh, well, I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, but if you're not doing the stuff that the Bible tells us to do, you could be hurting the Word of God in the church. In conclusion, if we want to feel better or feel good in our lives, We need to decide to have a merry heart. Some of us, the way to have a merry heart is to deal with the issues that we have. You want a healthy heart? Get a good doctor. Allow them to perform an exam. We have a spiritual exam. What is that? Holy Spirit, is there anything that I'm doing that I need to change? The Bible says that He is faithful and true. Faithful because He's always there, and true because He will always tell us whether we want Him to or not. Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to change? Is there a relationship that I need to change? Am I doing the right thing in my relationships? Some of the reason why we don't listen to the Holy Spirit because we don't like what He says. Can I tell you this? A merry heart is a great thing. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." There's nothing like somebody that's always happy. I mean, they actually have true joy. And you know they're going through a rough time, but boy, they still have a smile, a peace about them. And you know it's not fake. By the way, people normally congregate to those people. Man, I want to be around Brother So-and-so. I want to be around, why? Because they're always the same. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, man, they're like even Stephen the whole way. Something bad happens, you know what? We're just going to trust God and keep going by faith. Man, we're expecting them to throw a fit. Man, I remember we were at the college and we had a monster truck rally, and boy, everybody was there. And the high school went back, and when they went back, boy, the van that they took was not there. You're like, didn't we bring three vans? We only have two. And they said they were looking at the youth director, expecting him just to, he was like, well, I guess the Lord giveth and He taketh away. All right, kids, let's load up. And they're like, seriously, that's all you're going to do? He's like, what else can I do? He's like, I'm going to trust God. We're going to call the cops, do our responsibility. We're going to allow God to take care of everything else. They found it a few blocks away. They assumed that just the teenager took it, went on a joyride, took out the credit cards, wasn't smart enough to see that there was cash in there too. I mean, you would think they would take the cash and leave the credit card, but you know, I don't know. But he just left it up to them, and they were like, man, at the end of their banquet, they said, hey, so-and-so, man, you're the real deal, because when it got crazy, you were still faithful. And we were watching. You know, teenagers, they're watching. Some of you, they're watching you when you go through that rough time. Why? Because everybody's looking for a hero. Everybody's looking for somebody to stand up. We call them heroes of the faith. The reason why they're heroes of the faith is because they keep their heart merry. During the good times, during the bad times, they're found faithful. Some of you, maybe the best thing that ever happened to you is to be found faithful. Not to man. By the way, don't get caught up in that. The world, well, he's just a man. He's a man of God. It's a totally different thing. They're a person of God. They're children of God. A merry heart goes all the way. A sad one tires in an hour. William Shakespeare. Can I tell you this? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this: you fear that Christmas is not likely to be a merry time to you. When then flee unto God with whatever is burdening your heart and go on your way rejoicing. It's up to us. God didn't create us to have a broken heart. He created us to take whatever He thinks that we can have, the load that we can bear, that we can bring and point the light towards Him. We can let our light shine. Why in the world did I have cancer? Because you never know who's watching and who will be like, man, if it's good enough for them, that should be good enough for me. What church do you say you go to? I'll be there Sunday. We had a missionary, Kevin Nguyen. Kevin Nguyen, you know, averaging 26 to 30,000 people in church. Absolutely crazy. Pastors are asking him, how did you do it? He's like, because my church people love people. He's like, they have very big hearts. And people are like, oh, he's like, no, they have very big hearts. He's like, I have two people, their whole purpose in life is winning people to the Lord. He's like, they had a hospital that would not allow them to come in. He's like, literally, they came to me with their hearts broken, just crying. They're like, people in there, they're dying. He's like, they're not going to be saved. They're not going to be saved during this time. He's like, Pastor, how do we get in there? How do we help them? All of a sudden, they got cancer. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the hospital. They could have been, woe is me. He said, but all of a sudden, they're calling him. And they're like, hey, Pastor, you need to come do something because your church member is walking down the hallways going from room to room telling people. He said, one lady had terminal cancer. She said, I'm about to leave this world. Are you going to leave it with me? Are you going to go the opposite place? They said she probably would have said that at other times, and people would have been like, are you crazy? Get her out of here. But when she was in that state, they listened to her. He said she led over 300 people to the Lord before she left this earth in the hospital because she had a merry heart and she just wanted to share it with any other people. Heavenly Father, we sure do thank you. Lord God, we thank you for church. We thank you for opportunity for us to have a merry heart. Lord God, it's time for us to go to the spiritual doctor. Oh, Heavenly Father, if there's anything in any one of our lives that we need to take care of, Lord God, may we do it. May we put aside our pride so we can have a merry heart. So when those times come, we know that not only do we have an answer, we know whom we can stand upon. Lord God, you said your yoke is easy, but we have to want it. We have to desire it. Oh, Lord God, as Pastor comes, may we ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to take care of? And Lord God, when you tell us, will you please help us to be faithful to do so, Pastor?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me as the piano begins to play? Could you be honest with yourself tonight and do a examination with the Holy Spirit? How's your heart? How's your countenance? How's your joy? You know, parents, we got to be honest with ourselves because our kids might be able to answer that question. How are we doing? Dear Christian, you got to be honest with yourself because the Lord knows the answer to that question. Brother or sister here tonight, can you be honest with yourself because your siblings know the answer to that question? Have you lost your joy? Have you let circumstances or someone take it from you? See, if our joy comes from the Lord, no one or nothing can take that from you.
hope that you have a joyful heart tonight. Well, if you just stop and think about all that God's done for you. Boy, just many times we go through life thinking about all that we don't have. And that's the fleshly way of thinking. But Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Well, I understand, if that doesn't make you joyful, I don't know what will. To think all that God has done for us and through His promises will continue to do for His dear children. No matter what this world throws at us, I think of Paul and Silas. What great example, has been beaten and thrown into prison. And at midnight, what are they doing? They're praising the Lord. They had a merry heart. Well, what's on the inside will come out. Eventually, everyone will know. Whether it takes, of course, with kids, sometimes it only takes a couple hours. Sometimes you might be able to trick someone for years, but eventually, one day, we're going to know what was in our hearts when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, as everything we've done and said will be tried by fire. But I hope that our desire is to live with joy in our hearts, the joy of the Lord, and it's something that this world cannot duplicate. It's something that this world cannot take away if it's in the Lord. Amen. And so thank you, Brother Jackson, for that message. And no one could have preached that message like you. And so we appreciate that. And so if the Lord's laid on your heart, if Brother Jackson's been a blessing to you tonight in the message, would you just go by and shake his hand, give him a love offering, and give it to him personally? I'm sure he'll greatly appreciate flying out in the morning. And we're thankful that he can get cheaper flights in Orlando, because that makes him come by our way. And we get to have him here with us. And so I'm thankful and looking forward to Christmas time, our Christmas party. He'll be back with us. And so let's go ahead and close in a chorus tonight. As we're dismissed, we look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.
All right, so look and live.
Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His word, hallelujah.